Luke chapter number 7 here with us tonight, and we appreciate them being here, and all of you. Well, praise God, just good to be here. And now you pray for us. Yesterday, the Lord gave us what I thought He'd have us for to have tonight, and it started about a week and a half ago. And He's been doing the work, and so it's time for me just to go ahead and let you folks have it. We've been carrying it a while. I'm going to give it to you tonight and let you see what you want to do with it. I've done thank the Lord for it. So I do want to be a blessing to you and help you tonight. And if any help's done, it's going to be God. It's going to be God. And if you're here lost without the Lord, well, Lord, it's been enough singing, been enough praying, that it already ought to entertain the thought about maybe getting right with the Lord if you're not. Because He sure is a good Savior. Stand with me if you can, if you're physically able, stand with us. We read the Word of God, give reverence thereby in the reading of it. And I believe the Lord will bless you for it. Luke chapter number 7, and they're going to start verse number 1. Again, I asked you to pray for us, and we certainly appreciate it. All right, thank you for coming and standing. If you found your places, say amen.
Amen.
Our Bible says verse number 1. Now when He had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. Now, He had just got through giving the example about a wise man and a foolish man, and how the two built a house, and how one stood and the other one didn't. So that's where we are now. Verse number 2, a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation. Now talking about the individual that has sent these elders to talk to him. And for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them, and he was now not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whom that had been sick. We're going to stop there. And I want to preach just a little while, if God will help me, on what He stirred my heart over. And that thought being this, would somebody please go get Jesus? Would somebody please go get Jesus? Now, I'm going to clip right along in this, and I'm going to slow down here about midway and share with the church what the church needs. It's certainly not the only thing. I'm talking about churches. When I say church, as God's people, that we need. And if you'll pray for us, then we want to try our best to be a blessing to you. But more importantly, I want to bless my Heavenly Father tonight. Amen. And so you pray for us, and we'll pray at this time.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this evening. As we look into the Word of God, and we're thinking on this thought, would somebody please go get Jesus? Somebody needs to go get Him. First thing that we see, the church needs to see her need for the Lord's help. I'm afraid sometimes maybe we've been blessed so much. That is it possible that we know how to do it now without including the Lord that much? Is it possible that we have sang so many songs and prayed so many prayers that we just get into a routine of doing this without really involving the Lord, without really seeing our need for the Lord? Hey, listen, friend, if Jesus don't do something and time keeps clicking on, and the Father decides to tarry His coming, our grandbabies and our children need to learn that the only way they're going to survive is with the help of the good Lord. A man has already tried it. A man has took control of it. A man is doing this. Don't stop right here and say this. It's not about man. It's about Calvary, thank God. It's about what Jesus did at Calvary. It's not about this preacher. It's not about another preacher. It's not about denomination. It's about what Jesus did at Calvary. And God, through the power, raised Him that glorious day. And thank God He ascended back. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. I wonder, are there anybody that sees that we need the help of the good Lord? If not, we'll get where we feel like we're doing really good. But you know what? When I feel like I'm doing good, it's time to pray. Because I might do pretty good when I'm around human folk. But when I get into the presence of God and begin to pray, I find out I'm not doing too good. I find out that I need Him more and more and more and more and more. Without Him, church, we're not going to get much done that's going to matter. We've got to have Him. Would somebody please go get Jesus? So the church must first of all see her need for Him. Can I say this? God's still blessing. God still loves. And God still wants to bless the church. And God still wants to help the church. And God still wants to save sinners. It's just up to us if we're going to let God do it or not. I'm saying the church must see her need for Jesus. Now, I'm not going to throw no rocks right here, but I'm going to preach what God tells me to preach. When we sing without including Him, there's not much singing being done. When we preach without including Him, there's not much preaching done. And brother and sister, I've been around it. I've seen both sides of it. I've seen some men stand behind a pulpit to try to impress those that are there and try to impress everyone that's came. And I've seen those that's tried to sing and try to impress. And then I've seen those that want to sing because they love God and they sing from the heart. And I've seen those maybe that might not get their name up in the billiard lights as far as a man of God. But brother, when somebody needs something, they'll call on that man that they might not want to walk with every day, but they know that he's been with God and they know that he can pray and they want him to pray and they want those to sing that sings from their hearts. We got to see our need for Jesus. If we don't see that, we're going to be in a mess. Hey, can I say this? There's a vast majority of people that's living in our society on this planet that I dare to say a thought of God never passes through their mind. They never think about God. They don't think about God in the way they live. They don't think about God in the words they say. They don't think about God in the way they treat people. Are you listening? And then there's another group that has already got in their mind, who God is. They have already drawn their conclusion of who God is and what they think God is without giving God a try. So I said that to say this, that the church that knows God must see her need for God, so those that don't know anything about God can come into the church and know who God is because we see our need for Him. If we don't see our need for God, how do we have a message for the world? How can we tell the world they need God if the church don't see her need for God? Amen, preacher. Amen. I'm saying that the church must see her need. I'll get to the message here just in a minute. So first of all, the church must see her need for the Lord's help. Second of all, then somebody has to have a need to go and ask Him for His help. Seeing a need and not doing anything about it don't get much done. We've been doing that for years, have we not? Procrastinating is a fancy word for it. We see it, but we don't do nothing about it. We fuss about it, but we don't do nothing about it. We gossip about it, but we don't do nothing about it. We've got to see. I can't get off of where I was. I'm trying to pull off of there. And God said, son, you stay right there and hammer just a little longer. I'm saying that the church's got to see her need first of all. If we don't, now it's not that God can't do it, because He can do anything He wants to. But He wants to do it because He loves us, but He wants us to see our need to be dependent upon Him. I've already seen enough, folks, and that if I went by what I've seen, by going places and preaching, that it would make me just want to close my Bible and go on back to the house. But you see, I'm not going on what I see. I'm going on believing that God's going to do it again. See, some of these elderly people could tell you some things about how it used to be if some of us would just want to hear it. And thanks be unto God, God got me around some of the older people, and I sat on their front porches and talked to them and shared some coffee with them and learned a little bit about what God used to be. And I began to think, as I got started in this thing, why is it used to be? Why can't it happen now? God don't change. It's the people that's changed. We got to see our need for God. Preacher, why are you preaching like that? Because I want you to see your need for God. And if we'll see that need, then somebody's got to step up to the plate and go after it. If I was following you to church tonight, and I saw you run off a bank, I slowed down, and I pushed the pastor's window, and I looked over, and you're trying to crawl out of the vehicle, and I see blood on your head, and I see a bone sticking out of your arm, and I see that you need some help. And I look at Miss Teresa, and I say, Miss Teresa, Brother John looks like he needs some help down there. She said, yeah, he does. I pull it back down the drive and I go on down the road. I'll guarantee you I won't get far till my wife is going to peck me on the shoulder and say, well, if you seem that he needed some help, why are you leaving?
Yeah, amen.
We have got so comfortable because God has blessed us so much. So much that I'm afraid that some's decided just to ride this glory train on in. And just me and my four and ain't worried about no more. I I'm trying to preach all right. I'm slowing down a little bit because I don't want to miss God right here because I got your attention. Would somebody please go get Jesus? He can help us. How do you know that, preacher? Well, if you had time and my voice would hold out, I've got two services I got to do tomorrow, or my voice, if you had time, I'll tell you because how I know he can help you. Because I was there when it happened. And as we tried to sing, you ought to have been there. You ought to have been there when he blessed my soul. You ought to have been there when you see what he done for me. Praise God. I know what he done for me. I didn't need nobody else to tell me to do this or do that. And you'll be all right. Sign this and sign that. Walk this way. Talk this way. Dress this way. Hey. I was there. I know what he done for me. Somebody went and got Jesus. And he sought him after me. And he found me. Thank God. And ever since then, I know he can do it.
That's right.
Rachel, you're too far. No, I ain't too far. No, just hang on. I want to say this right here. I preached this just the other day, but God wants me just to throw the thought in here. You're not so lost that God can't find you. Now, you might be so religious that God will have a hard time getting through some of that. But... But you're not so lost that God can't find you. And can I just insert something right here? When the church sees her need for Jesus and goes and gets the church, then we'll understand that it's his. See, I pastor Mount Zion Baptist Church and been there 30 plus years, but it's not my church. Because he said he bought the church. He purchased the church. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Some might not like that, but I like that. I like it. I'm glad it's his church.
Amen.
And when we see our need, somebody, will you please go get him? We'll move on right here, all right? Would somebody please go get Jesus? Well, you weren't expecting this, was you? But this right here is really help the church. If we'll anchor down right here, drive some pigs, just some stakes down in the ground and say, right here's one, we need Jesus. Number two, somebody's got to go get him. Now, there used to be some old timers, and I say that respectfully, that will go somewhere and pray. They didn't have to have the spotlight on them. They didn't have to be recognized come Sunday morning. But they went somewhere because they saw the need for Jesus and began to ask him, Lord, will you help us? Could we imagine just here, can I walk in your mind just a second? I'll come out. You don't want me in there too long. But if you allow me just to walk in your mind just a second or two to interrupt this thought. Could we can't even imagine what would happen if the number of the people that's here tonight would get honest with God and say, God, here I am. Cleanse everything bad about me out. Cleanse everything wrong about me and make me pure. Wash me, make me clean. I want to be the example that I need to be. And see that prayer life opened up and every one of us pray to the Lord. And I don't know how many churches is represented here tonight, but there's a few. But pray to the Lord. Lord, would you help us in the morning? God, I'm tired of myself. See, when we start seeing our need for him and go after him, he'll let us know it's not everybody else, it's me. It's me that needs the help. See, I'm putting everybody, as long as I pray, well, if he'd do this or she'd do that, or if he'd stop doing that or she stopped, hey, I'm saying if all of us will see our need, I said, first of all, let's get right before the Lord. And then we pray, and if every one of us get a hold of the chains and the ropes and start ringing them prayer bells in heaven, could you imagine what might take place in the morning? When God starts showing up, flesh don't have to. Can I say that again? When God starts showing up, flesh don't have to. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. Flesh don't have to take the service over, because the Shekinah glory of God is already there. And when we sense His presence, we'll humble ourselves in His mighty presence, and we'll stop showing off and showing up, and we'll exalt Him and keep Him, thank God, where He needs to be, because we need Him. We don't need more services of ourselves. We need Him. People are dying on the church pews and going to hell without God, because they're seeing everything but Jesus. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see Him on Calvary. I want them to see Him bleeding and dying for their sins. Not me. If they never know my name, that's all right. I want them to know who Jesus is when I preach. Somebody, would you please go get Jesus? The church, first of all, has to see their need. This individual we're reading about tonight saw his need. He was a man that he loved dearly that was dying. The Bible says he heard about Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people hearing a lot of things about the church. I wonder how many people is hearing anything about Jesus in the church. Can I remind us again, it's His. It's His. Ain't that right, Brother Hired? It's His. Praise God, it's His. He purchased it. He just didn't die at Calvary. Can I say this and I'll go on? He took my place.
Absolutely right. Amen, brother. You're right.
Yes, He did.
I mean, He became the sin that I committed and gave His life where I should have been, but He took my place.
Right, right.
And He took your place.
Absolutely.
So the next time the sweet Holy Ghost comes by and begins to do fluttering sensations in your heart, and the devil says, don't you say nothing, don't you get excited, don't you raise your hand, don't you say amen, just remember He took your place. You would still be in your sins. I would still be in my sins had it not been for Jesus. And I want to say this, it hadn't always been this good. I've never regretted getting saved. See, I was religious at one time. And then I got born again. And I was just about 18 inches off, but it made all the difference in the world. When I got Jesus out of my head and got Him into my heart, and He gave me the sweet Holy Spirit, it forever changed my life. And it's still changing my life. Oh, it's a life-changing experience. It's not just a one-time thing. Y'all don't really mind if I just walk around a little bit, do you? I'm just trying to see what's going on back in here. I'm saying that we need Jesus, and when we see our need for Him, somebody needs to go get Him. We'll let you do that. Well, no. You hadn't saw your need for Him yet. You see, when you see your need, you'll go talk to Him about it. And you say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. Well, I'll tell you what I want you to do then. I want you to go pray for me that Jesus will help me. Because I see my need for Him. And I see the church's need for Him.
That's right. Amen.
The church must get back to the cross. We've got too far from the cross. We've got to get back to the cross and cling to the blood-stained cross. Amen. That's the only hope we have. Will somebody please go get Jesus? Not only do the church must see her need, but somebody's got to see their need to go get Him. And thirdly, notice now how Jesus responded. He went with them. Can I say this? I'm about already preached out, but I say this right here. I'm getting ready to where I was getting close to where I'm going to preach yet, but I'm done about preached out. I'm glad that when they asked Him, the report was now He's on His way. Now, why do you say that, Pastor? Well, how would this individual know to send messages and say, no, don't trouble him. I'm not worthy that he come.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
God let him know he's on his way. See, sometimes we hear some things before we see anything. Oh, I know some of y'all are going to come after me with a butterfly net. That's all right. Sometimes we hear some things, like Elijah on Mount Carmel. He saw some things, heard it before he ever saw it. Would you go look again? Well, I don't see much, but I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. Well, you see, the thing is, we get to doubt so much when God wants to help us that this little thing could turn into something big. If we'll just trust God, let God do what he wants to do. Hey, if God's in it, little is a much when God's in it. It don't take a whole lot of God. It might take a whole lot of us getting out of the way. But it don't take a whole lot of God. I mean, I want all that God can give us, but it don't take a whole lot. Look with me now. Stay with me. He's on his way. Now, here's where things get interesting. Here's where I want to preach from. In verse 6 and verse 7. This, I got just a little bit ahead of myself because I wanted to throw that in before I got there. But if you'll notice, verse number 6, let's move on. Well, let's read verse 4. I won't preach it, but we'll move on. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. In other words, this man is a good man. And I'm not knocking at all, no doubt he was. He said, this is not somebody of the streets that's asking you to help. This is a good man. He has built a synagogue and he loves our nation. He's a good man that's requested this of you. Would somebody please go get Jesus? Verse number 6 says, then Jesus went with them. That's where it got. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And then it goes on to list his position and his authority. Let me say this. Here a great lesson is to be had. In verse 6 and verse 7, and that lesson being, it's not about man. Instead, it's all about the Lord. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, if it was about man, then this man would have never said what he done, and Jesus would have never concluded what he said. Here he says, I'm not worthy you come. I know what they've told you. I know that they've told you of the credentials that I have and all the works that I've done. Hey, Jesus is not coming because of this man's goodness. He's coming because he needs some help. Now again, I want to say this. I don't believe you live just any old way you want to after you get saved and expect the blessings of God to flow over you either. No, sir. No, ma'am. Let me say that again. We've got too many that's filling the pulpit just saying, all right, live any way you want to. After you say that you get saved, it don't matter what you do. The only problem with that is I can't find that in the Bible.
Right.
It sounds good to people that wants to stay in sin, but it's not Scripture. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new unto him. If I wanted to stay in sin, why did I bother getting saved? Ain't getting a whole lot of help right there, but that's all right. We'll preach it anyhow. I've done come too far down the road now. It just don't make common horse sense. That's not the point I'm trying to make here. The point I'm trying to make is this. When his, let's call them ushers or servants, went to the Lord, The first thing they began to tell the Lord was all that this man had done. And that's what we got to be careful of when we see our need for the Lord. We can't go before the Lord and tell the Lord everything we've done. What we need to do is go tell the Lord all of our sins and ask God to have mercy on us and forgive us, like the publican did versus the Pharisee over in Luke chapter 18 or 19. When the one said he stood out there and beat his breast, and the one said, "I'm glad I'm not like him. Lord, I'm not a sinner. I tithe of all I have, and I do this, and I do that, and do that." And you know what that did? That just made the Lord sick. Because he knew his heart, and he knew he wasn't doing it right in the right place anyway. And that other fellow said, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." Praise God for that. They don't take a whole lot of studying to be able to pray that, does it? But that'll get the job done. That'll get the job done. We go before the Lord and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." And Jesus now says, after he's received the message now, he says, "I've never seen so much faith." In other words, he's saying this, and I'm closing. If anybody had any right to boast, it would be him. Because he's got the authority. He tells this one to go do it, and he does it. He tells one to come here, he comes. He says, "Draw my water," they draw his water. "Get my clothes ready, saddle my donkey or camel." Everybody does exactly what he says, but now he sees a need for the Lord and he tells the Lord, "I'm not worthy to do that. I mean, I've got authority, but I don't want to try to use this authority toward you." So he's humbling himself before the Lord and saying, "Lord, I'm not even worthy." And that's why I say, church, it's not about us. It's all about him.
Absolutely.
And if we can get our eyes back on him and off of us. See, I didn't come to perform tonight. I come to try to preach. And I ain't done much with it, but I've tried. And I thank God for what he showed me in this scripture. But when somebody goes and gets him, we got to stay humble when we go after him. I'm not going to be one going to demand anything from God. We're entitled to a lot, but I'm not going to go before God and tell God, "I demand you to do this." You might not get much done, but what I get done will be done the right way. I believe what our Bible teaches, it'll be done the right way. I'm closing right here. Let's not leave that man sick. The Bible says he was healed. He was healed. And I'm closing with this. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm closing with this thought. When the church sees her need for Jesus and somebody goes after him, the need will be met. I'm saying the need will be met when we go get the Lord, because we see our need for him. The Bible says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at them and turned him about and said to the people, "Ones that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." Verse 10 says, "And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." In closing, let me say, this need was met. God will meet your need the same way. He'll meet yours. He'll meet mine. Sinner friend, if you're lost without Jesus, he'll meet your need. We must realize it's all about him and not me. Not you, not us. It's all about him. Brother, you come on.